Good afternoon and welcome back to the Better Living Radio program. I'm your host, Peter Lewis, and I'm pleased to be able to join you. Today we also have Dr. George Guthrie, who's joining us from Oklahoma City, or from Oklahoma. We'd like to welcome you, Dr. Guthrie, to the Better Living Radio program once again.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here, Peter. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to open with a scripture. It's taken from Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1, 2, and 3 thereabout. It says, "And you hath ye quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And this is the important part. "Among whom also we all had our conversation," which is lifestyle, "in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So we see that before man comes to know Jesus Christ, their life is governed by the lusts of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. Whatever I feel like, I do it. You know, and this hits at the very source or the very root cause of most of the disease challenges that Americans are facing today. And we're going to continue to discuss insulin resistance. And Dr. Guthrie, once again, we appreciate you joining us out of your busy schedule. And in our previous program, we described insulin resistance. Could you just encapsulate it, and then we're going to go right into the most effective methods to eliminate this insulin resistance problem?
Yes, Peter. Yesterday we talked about how individual cells in the body decide how much energy they need, and if they get too much energy in, that is calories, and they are not doing enough work, that is exercise, or using enough energy up, they develop this resistance to the insulin. In the body, this means the insulin levels go up, and insulin levels cause a variety of problems in the body: weight gain, high blood pressure, increased cholesterol, heart attacks, and there's actually some other things it does as well. But the end result, type 2 diabetes and this group of diseases caused by or strongly related to insulin resistance.
Wow. So there we have it. Insulin resistance produce a chain of disease, a disease that has a chain, a diabetes, which is usually the end of the situation, high cholesterol, increased weight, and high blood pressure all go hand in hand. So what would be the most natural and most logical and most intelligent way of countering the situation in a person's life, Dr. Guthrie?
When I first began to understand in the late 1980s about the physiology, as science was beginning to unfold it, hey, energy management is at the cell level. Too much energy in, not enough energy out, insulin resistance. I asked myself that question many times. I said, well, then it would only make sense that we find some way to exercise and to decrease the calories going in. That has a logic to it once you understand how it works. And indeed, that is one of the most important things that you can do. Now, to increase calories out, one has to exercise.
Right.
Get up out of that recliner and move. I spoke with one doctor who was helping his patient lose weight and try to manage his diabetes and insulin resistance. And this doctor asked the patient, well, you know, what do you do? Well, I can't do any exercise. I just sit in the recliner. It hurts too much for me. And the doctor said, when you come in next time, I want you to bring me your TV remote. And the patient brought it in, and the doctor took it from him. He said, there now, you can get up and exercise. You go and change the channels manually.
Wow.
And that was the beginning of that man's exercise program.
Wow.
The more movement we can do throughout the day, the more energy our muscles need, and this can help reverse the insulin resistance. Simple things like parking at the far end of the parking lot from the grocery store or wherever we're shopping. Don't look for the closest spot, look for the furthest spot, and then walk
right.
that extra distance. Some people use a pedometer. This is a very handy tool. You put it, clip it on your belt, mark in it what your average step size is, and then every time your heel bumps, it clicks the meter. And, of course, over the day, you can measure how many steps you've gone. And if you can get 10,000 steps in a day, why, you're doing really good, and that'll help to get things down. Maybe, for example, someone is a housewife with kids who are just keeping her busy all day. Mm-hmm. As she's walking from place to place, why, let's say at the end of the day, she's got 9 or 10,000 feet, steps in. Well, she probably doesn't need to go out and do any heavy exercise, but if it was a slow day and she only had 5,000 steps in, maybe at the end of the day she needs to go out and take a walk, get that in before she goes to bed to help make sure that her muscles are
using some energy,
being worked and using more energy.
All right, so key number one is increase activity, get on some kind of exercise, get moving, get up and go, right?
It makes a lot of sense to me. It's amazing how many people just don't exercise very much. I have patients who tell me that their previous doctor told them it's dangerous to exercise.
Wow.
And, of course, I try to help them with that very carefully. As I think we mentioned last time, I work at Lifestyle Center of America, where people come for about 18 days. We do a treadmill on people. And then we know where their safe heart rate is.
Right.
And looking at their fitness level, we actually use a heart rate monitor to help get them exercising to a safe point.
That's good.
It's called intermittent training. Have you ever heard of it?
Intermittent training. I've heard of the approach of helping them to exercise on a gradual basis and watching their heart rate, but
well,
not the term.
Well, it's actually used most by high-end athletes, Olympic trainers.
Okay.
You see, what they do is they exercise to get their heart rate up and then rest to let it come down.
Okay.
That works great for people in training for the Olympics, trying to get much better at their heart, how well their heart works, their cardiovascular system. We're using it in kind of a different way. We're using it to avoid pushing people into what we would call the anaerobic respiration, that is, respiration that builds up lactic acid, that isn't using the oxygen. That is kind of a stress on the body.
Right.
We find out what their fitness level is and adjust them to a safe rate. Somebody
That's
with
good.
Congestive heart failure or diabetes, heart disease, we know where their safe range is. We start them in that safe range, 10 beats up, and then they rest until it comes down 10 beats. This
That's
helps
good.
Get the maximum benefit.
That's
oh,
absolutely.
But Peter, I suppose this is kind of advanced exercise. Just to let your listeners know that there are some things to help people who are a little afraid of exercise.
Okay.
Intermittent training at the right level, you don't have to hurt, you don't have to sweat, and you get to rest part of each minute.
Mm.
Some people think that in order to exercise effectively, you go until you're ready to drop, and then you go further. Truth is, that can make you worse.
Yes. Now, okay, let's go on to the next part, cutting the calorie. What kind of food would these people be most benefited by?
Well, I suppose one way to look at it, we can look at it positively or negatively, right?
Yes, sir.
We can say if you have food that has too many calories in it, then that's going to be too many calories for your body.
Right.
Food that is very high in calories, we can say now don't eat those foods.
Okay.
And then there's good foods, and we could say use those. Now, which do people prefer, looking at things to do or trying to avoid things?
Mm.
Well, most people, when they think about dieting, think about not eating things.
Yeah.
Why, even the word diet, you know, D-I-E-T, is sometimes considered an acronym.
Mm-hmm.
Because people say it all the time. They say, dare I eat that? You know, they're always asking, should I eat that or not? And we can talk about foods that are not good for people, that are high in calories, and low in nutrients. Maybe we should just spend a short time on those.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of do-nots? They have do-not stores.
Okay.
Isn't it odd that people will go in and buy and eat a food that's actually called a do-not?
That's amazing. Do-not sounds like donut
high
to me.
High refined calories and really sets people up for getting way too many calories in. Many of the snacks that we are encouraged to eat are fat calories, highly concentrated, mixed with salt or sugar. And they even advertise them. I bet you can't eat one. Well, people tend to get a lot of extra calories.
That's right.
Then, of course, we all know about the candy bars and the soda pops and those types of things that tend to increase the calories in. It's best if we stay away from those foods.
Absolutely. So those are the cakes, the cookies, the candies, and all those sweet foods that people like. Now, on the other hand, what we're actually striving for is foods that are low in calorie and high in mineral density, right?
Well, high in nutritional density, not just minerals, but all
nutritional
kinds
density,
of excellent
right?
And you know, I prefer when I deal with people not to focus so much on the what you can't have, but rather on the what you can have.
Okay.
I learned this 25 years ago when I was in medical school. Why, in the literature, there was a report from Dr. James Anderson at the University of Kentucky. And he reported that he was treating people with diabetes not by telling them not to eat things, but telling them to eat lots of fiber.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he told them, you check your labels, you check the food that you're eating, and make sure that you get 40, 45, 50 grams of fiber every day.
Yeah.
And if they're getting that, if people are focusing on getting high-fiber foods, that's something positive. Where can I get
Absolutely.
A higher fiber food?
Absolutely.
Add that fiber up. By the time they get finished with 60 grams of fiber a day, they're so full they don't have room for the other stuff.
Wow.
Now, this is a very good principle of human behavior, and it's even reflected in Scripture. You know, the best way of getting rid of things that are bad is to replace them with something better.
Something better.
If you're always looking for, you know, what's wrong and what I got to stay away from, what a negative, sad life.
It's a
very
negative.
Isn't it a better way to say, look at the good things that I can get and go for the good things?
Absolutely.
Now, it so happens that Dr. Anderson was really on to something. Foods that are high in fiber are actually low in calories and very high in nutrients. That is, focusing on the fiber was a good way to fix the whole diet.
All right.
Now, fiber is beneficial for several reasons. Well, number one, it fills us up and it has no calories. I think we mentioned this on our last discussion.
Right.
Fiber, when you put it in your mouth, it goes through your intestines and comes out the back end, virtually unchanged.
That's correct.
So it has zero calories. Now, the foods that are high in fiber tend to be low in fat.
Uh-huh.
Fat has 9 calories per every gram. That's a lot of calories. And those calories, when they come in, can clog up the system if there's too many of them. Now,
Absolutely.
We recognize the body needs some fats. We call them essential fats. But too many of even the good fats can put in a lot of extra calories
Absolutely.
And can clog up the system.
You know, when you think about it, for people who have high cholesterol, high fat floating around their blood, this is absolutely important because we're trying to lower that insulin resistance, trying to lower the amount of sugar floating around the blood. Now, because don't the body convert the excess sugars to fat?
Some sugars are more easily changed to fat, especially when insulin levels are high, but not all sugars. For example, fructose. Have you heard of fructose?
Yes, sir.
Maybe high fructose corn syrup has a familiar ring to you from a label that you saw somewhere, maybe a soda pop.
Yes, sir.
Fructose is much more easily turned into stored fat than is, for example, glucose.
Okay.
So some sugars especially turn into fat very quickly. Others are not quite so quickly. The point is, if we eat a high fiber food, if we get food, and this is very interesting, it's a very good principle.
Yeah.
The closer we get it to the way God made it, the better it is for us.
Hmm.
And God put fiber in it. Sugars and fats in plants are already kind of mixed up with other things that help protect us.
Absolutely.
So if you have, for example, a fruit like an apple has sugar in it and it has lots of fiber in it. If you eat that apple, it's sweet, it tastes good, but the fiber in your stomach holds on to that sugar and lets it go into the bloodstream more slowly.
Absolutely.
It doesn't stimulate the insulin so much, so you have less insulin, so it's less likely to get stored.
Hmm.
You know, if you smash up the apples and take the apple juice out, you may have 7 to 8 apples worth of sugar at the end of your knife in a glass. And you drink it with your meal and you think nothing of it. If you'd eaten those apples, why, you maybe 2 or 3 apples and you'd have been full.
Now, Dr. Guthrie, mm-hmm. Now, when we look at the timing to put this food in the body, is it the best time just before retiring at night, seeing that we want to expend energy and so on?
Peter, that's one of my hobby horses. So I really want to say something about that, but let me finish that last thought just
sure.
a little bit, okay?
Sure.
Because some people get confused. They think that simply because a food is natural or organic, that
yeah.
it's going to be good for them.
Absolutely.
And I'm introducing kind of a different principle.
Uh-huh.
Is apple juice bad? No, it can be fresh and natural and good, but the truth is it's been processed.
Absolutely.
And the fiber has been taken out, and without that fiber, it can be very hard on people.
Absolutely.
That is, the package that God made the food in is generally best. Not that you never have any other kinds, but if
yeah.
you move towards that, it's better. No matter what the food, the closer it is to the way God made it, the better. If you're in the grocery store and looking for foods, and you're looking at the labels, try to find labels that have only 1 or 2 ingredients. The fewer the ingredients, the better.
That's
and when
true.
It's whole wheat, it's a lot better than refined wheat.
Yes.
So those are just important principles. Now, I'm sorry, you were trying to lead me into the whole area of when you eat.
Yes, we got 3 minutes or 2 minutes there about.
So I need to hit it quickly.
Hit
then,
it,
right?
Please. Yes, sir.
Let's talk about it like this. Here I am in Oklahoma. I'm getting on the airplane to fly to Honolulu for a vacation.
Yes.
Would I want the airplane company to put the fuel in the airplane in Oklahoma City or after we get to Hawaii?
Certainly, it would be much better to put it before we leave.
Exactly. Otherwise, we'll run out of fuel during the flight. So for us, in our human bodies, as we're flying through our day,
yeah.
it's much better to have the energy at the beginning part of the day.
Absolutely.
And the science tells us, Dr. Hallberg did this experiment back in the late 70s, looking at giving people the same number of calories morning or evening.
Yeah.
When people got their calories in the morning, they lost significantly more weight than when they got them in the evening.
Mm.
Hey, if you eat a big meal and lay down, what can your body do with all those calories but store them? And that's weight gain, and that's too much energy for cells that are inactive. That is metabolic syndrome. That is diabetes, heart disease, hypertension, obesity.
You know, I'd like to say this, that I know some of our listeners may be challenged because this is an entirely new lifestyle concept. But yet still, it's a healthy lifestyle concept. In the book Ministry of Healing, page 130, it says, apart from divine power, no genuine reform can be effected. Human barriers against natural and cultivated tendencies are but as the sandbanks against the torrent. Not until the life of Christ becomes a vitalizing power in our lives can we resist the temptations that assail us from within and from without. So we need some divine help to make the changes in the lifestyle habits, don't we?
The first step, and thank God for His graciousness, is for us to understand what to do.
Yes.
Once we understand, then we can try to work towards it. And you remember Romans talks about, oh, the things that I wanted to do, I couldn't do, and the things that I knew I shouldn't do, I kept doing. And then Paul says, praise the Lord, there is a release from this. There is an answer, and that comes in Jesus.
That's
that
right.
Righteousness, that right doing that comes by faith. Once we know what we need to do, we can turn to God for help to make the changes that are necessary.
That's all right. Dr. Guthrie, last, would you give out your information, contact information once again, please?
Sure. I'm at Lifestyle Center of America. Our website is www.lifestylecenter.org. www.lifestylecenter.org.
And the phone number?
Phone number 580-993-2327.
Okay. So, our dear listeners, if you have any question or if you'd like to visit Dr. Guthrie and the Lifestyle Centers of America in Oklahoma, you can contact him by phone or check out the website. He'll be glad to answer any question or to work with you with your health challenges. So, until our next program, dear listeners, may God bless you and have a wonderful day.